Thank you, Jean, and good morning, everyone. Nice to see you. Glad you were able to share your valuable time and make choices to come to Child Health this morning, because we have a lot of competing good priorities. I'd like to acknowledge the collaborating partners, not only the co-authors. There is a manuscript in publication now on this impact evaluation, and there's a little briefer at the front if anybody's interested, a couple page briefer. But besides the co-authors, I think particularly I'd like to acknowledge APT Associates, who was working with us in the healthcare financing part of this project, and Initiatives, and the Academy for Educational Development that is now merged into FHI 360, but for all the work that they all did to help out. And we'll move right along. No disclosures. This is a quick outline of the presentation. There was a previous presentation given at the 3IE Impact Evaluation Conference in Mexico last year, so some of this comes from that, and I have to apologize in advance that means there's fewer photos than there usually are in these presentations and more graphs. But I'd like to take you back to 2003 in this presentation, because it was a very important time for child survival and health worldwide when the Lancet series came out in June. It happened to coincide with this project time period, 2003 to 2008. And so Ethiopia was already looking forward, and already had, before this Lancet series came out, had concerns about where they were going with the MDGs. Their Minister of Health, Dr. Tedros, is very well known and was at the lead of trying to make a difference in the lives of the families and the children in Ethiopia. And the health extension program was born, actually, prime minister level, to put, they had maybe 50% of the country had was beyond 2 hours walk of any sort of fixed facility. So it's a good segue, I think, with Fred's presentation in terms of fixed facilities of some sort. So they engaged on a program that took them 5 years to complete in terms of recruiting two female workers. This was a revolution for Ethiopia to have two paid female workers in every community. And it's now probably 34,000, including the urban workers. So they were in this group of countries that had a lot of deaths in the world, child health as well as maternal. The USAID ESHI project design was a bilateral effort in three large regions. Today's data will concentrate on the one region where the longest basics was there before. There was another project that worked in health system strengthening, particularly health information systems, and this child health project came after that. So it had, I think there is something to say, seeing the lessons learned, continuity of support, and not just five-year project cycles that are going to make big differences in the world. I think importantly, we brought over a strategy that had worked for us in Madagascar, our work also in Nepal with volunteers working at the community level. So after 10 years in Madagascar, and this is a community health promoter, an unpaid worker that was teamed up with the two paid extension workers. And even at the initial period, there were no paid workers yet, because they were coming offline every year. And so some communities had no paid workers yet. And we started with the volunteer initiative and added the paid workers as they came online, and quickly transitioned our work so that these paid workers would be the lead. It wouldn't be the facility workers or the district workers who would be running the community volunteer program. It would be the paid worker right in the community. And that team of having a paid and a volunteer at the community level, where they both need each other, was very important. They both benefited from each other's support and work. The ESHI strategy really is a three-pillar strategy coming out of the IMCI work of WHO, where they were teaming together, learning for many years of the diarrhea work, that it wasn't enough just to focus on health worker training, or even the ORS packets and the logistics problems there, but the need to work on systems, the need to work on health worker performance, and the need to work with the community. And I always quote Henry Moseley in every talk I give, I think, regarding, he came once to, I knew him from a long time, but from Hopkins, but he came once to Ethiopia, and he asked USAID, he said, are you doing anything, you know, the USAID director, Bill Hammack at the time, said, are you doing anything at the community level here? And he said, oh, he'd only been on the job a month, but he'd come down to the SU work. It's the end of the SU 1, I think, and he heard something about the community so he could pipe up. And he said, oh, thank God you're doing something. He said, you know, 90% of all healthcare decisions are made in the home. So if you're not reaching the homes, you're not going to make a difference in healthcare here. But the integration, I think, is important, and stress this. You can't work on one for 5 years and then one for 5 years, simultaneously working at the community, at the systems level, and the health worker level. So the time frame I mentioned, 2003 to 2008, our particular program was financed for child health. The follow-on program is across maternal, newborn, and child, but our focus, or our entryway, if you will. But as we all know, if you work on one system, you tend to help the others along. So immunization was the first phase. We worked with EPI. Essential Nutrition Actions was the second year, if you will. And IMNCI came later, Integrated Management of Newborn Child Illness, only because Ethiopia was slow. It took us 6 years at policy level to get them to convince them that it would be safe for a paid extension worker to give oral antibiotics. But it was a long, long process. So we tagged that on at the end because we wanted that policy to be in place. And it finally came, but it was very, very tough coming. Study designed for, in terms of the data to be presented, pre and post household surveys and multi-stage cluster sampling, fairly routine. Three different groups, women aged 15 to 49 for a variety of things, including the bed nets for the house and water supply and contraceptives. We won't be able to share in this all the different data that was used. What we did, though, was to use three outcome indicators, one for the immunization program, one for the nutrition program, and one for, if you will, community IMCI, because it really wasn't the facility part, and latrine was used for this. What was very important in this environment of rapidly changing, so the contrafactual or the control area was also moving at great rate because of putting these two paid workers primarily into the community. So we needed to be able to say, well, what extra booster effect, if any, did we find from the work that the ESHI project brought? Was there any difference, or were we just on the coattails of the extension program and the other energy behind it in Ethiopia to move? And so this differences, multiple regression, allowed us to subtract away what was happening in the control areas, which for us was all the rest of the country, all the rest of the regions, actually, that we were working in. So we'll see that as we come later on. This just gives some description of the background. Control. We were a program. We weren't a research. This was not an RCT. So we were a program, but trying also to be credible and to see are we making a difference. So there are differences, and through the logistic regression, able to subtract some of those out in terms of maternal education, time to health center, and so forth. Coming straight to some results. For me, I've always been a DPT person, but it seems there's DTP now. So this comes from, I think, the DTCAC of the French side, but in Europe they're using DTP, so I have to readjust my memory from a long time. This is the one region, the Southern Nations, Nationalities, Peoples region, about 16 million population. And we can see, do you have a curve in your, or is that me? I see a curve in this here, but it should be a straight line. Mine looks straight here. Probably the angle of the screen. We were starting, not unlike Fred, at a very low level. This is not routine data now. This is survey data that we're presenting, both in the comparison intervention and as, and I'd like Fred's comment about the bellwether. I also feel immunization, among all of the kinds of public health programs we do, because it always has a denominator that's everybody, as opposed to just who shows up for diarrhea care, who shows up for other, it's a very interesting way to see what is the access to health care and what is the performance. And by taking your third dose, of course, we know that means you've had some continuity. You at least had to have three exposures. So it gives us some sense of how the system's doing. In this, again, we've subtracted away, done the logistic regressions, so there's 11 percentage point differential of, if you will, the booster effect over the secular trend that was already happening with the improvement. Done the logistic rig not only due to the health extension workers, because remember, health extension workers also have to be supported. It's not just throwing two paid workers out into community that makes everything change. If the logistics, the supervision in particular, regular supervision, and even what we call reverse supervision, where they come to a fixed facility and can meet their colleagues and on a monthly basis pick up supplies, a lot of these extension workers are having to walk to get the vaccines and bring them back. They do not have refrigerators for the most part, are able to do it with well-mobilized communities, and that's where the community comes in. When the community health promoters, who are just parents trying to have a better life for their children, and that's their benefit really, motivation to be a promoter, when they start mobilizing, we found twice as many people coming for vaccination as before, so that the vaccinators were running out, if you will. The extension workers ran out. They didn't plan on so many people coming. So even with once or twice a month, you can get a good turnout if you're mobilized. Again, 13 percentage points differential here for breastfeeding. Of interest, it wasn't changing much in the comparison area. Our hypothesis, it's not really substantiated yet, would be that we found that in many other indicators, the health extension workers didn't put in the time often necessary for the counseling. You know, to give the vaccination and get it written down and get them out the door is already a lot of work. But in their other work, it takes longer to change the behavior of breastfeeding. The promoters, however, where I don't have all the data in this presentation, where the health promoters are there, and they're talking to the mothers regularly, their neighbors, day in and day out. They're changing their own behaviors because they are a promoter, a role model, that there was a significant change where the volunteers were working. And this is backed up with even work in the U.S. where immunization and breastfeeding have been affected by volunteer workers. Improve latrines or latrines at all, also 11 percentage point difference. So again, a booster effect, a lot going on. This was a huge priority. The Prime Minister, Minister of Health, felt that 80% of all of our problems could be solved if we just would wash our hands and properly dispose of our feces. Whether or not we agree, this was kind of the background for the government to have that high level government commitment and engagement for both water and sanitation has certainly made a difference in the slope of the curve for everyone. And then the booster effect, again, coming from additional impact of engaging, I think, the volunteers along with the extension workers. So in summary, brief summary, working at all levels. It's the bottom of the pyramid. I would highly agree with our colleague from Johns Hopkins that as we go off into more hospital attention in some of the countries, the bottom of the pyramid is still the 90%, and those people can benefit from a lot of work in the home, a lot of work in the community, and need a lot of support to get out to them. Project impact from policy standpoint. Just to go through, I think the way our project was designed, I didn't have time really to say too much about it, but a strong feeling of get the technical assistance, if you will, and the support as close to the providers as possible. So we based our project of having two national level professionals based out at the zonal level in Ethiopia and supporting five districts. And so they were on a daily basis, so we didn't have very many people at the capital level in Addis Ababa or very many people at the regional level, but they were there as capacity building to work with the regional directors, work with the national directors, policy level and systems level, but then to really work at the district level, so the operational unit and down to the community. And again, as the extension workers came on board, we really worked on the capacity building of the extension workers. The more that those extension workers could do and work as leaders, they had learned some things about health in their short trainings, relatively short, but they didn't know about community organizations. So really helping them to learn how do you work the community so that all of those volunteers who are geographically spread throughout the community really feel empowered. I think the whole volunteer business, very short trainings, very little investment, really, but that they feel empowered, that they can make a difference in the lives of their own families, and they can make a difference in the lives of their neighbors. Then you have people 24 hours a day, that buzz starting to happen, that no one coming once a month for supervision can make happen. But that support from the supervisor, that somebody cares about what you're doing and the results you're getting. I attended many sessions myself where these volunteers would be there and in front of the leadership of their community, including the mayor would sometimes come and so forth, with local leadership. They'd be raising their hands. These are women. This is not just the men. Half the volunteers were women, half were men. You know, kind of raising their hand, almost like school children, so excited to share, you know, how many more latrines we have this month in our, you know, community, or how many more kids got vaccinated, and so forth. So that kind of pride, status in the community, that they could make a difference, rattled all the way down. So I think I should probably sum this up and finalize here. But I think this ownership and government ownership, the Paris principles, you know, that the governments really feel this is their program, and I think probably the greatest compliment that was paid to us was that, you know, the way you worked with us was to work at our side. You weren't out in front taking the credit, and you weren't behind us pushing us and just asking for a report at the end of the year. You were elbow to elbow helping us look at our challenges and try to figure out how to get over those obstacles and move on. So I think the contribution that we can see and measure in a larger way comes at the DHS time, which was a couple of years later. There's always a lag in these things anyway, but there has been a significance, and so they are actually taken out of the group of countries that are not on the road to meeting their MDG-4. The Lancet article looking at that actually was using the previous data and not the 2011 DHS. So they're actually on the road for reaching their MDG-4 for child health. And we feel, based on, again, that booster effect, that the ESHE project actually working in three regions, and we have the data for the other two regions, made its contribution. We aren't responsible for these results, but made its contribution, particularly in putting the three together, the health systems work, the health workers' performance improvement, and most particularly the community. Actually, the government picked up this community approach. Under our project period, there were 54,000 volunteers brought into the system. Now, through the extension workers, there's 300,000 nationwide volunteers working. So, three key messages, the three pillars approach. The large number of volunteers to boost performance, and the importance of continuity of support, wherever it may be coming from. That just jumping around, whether it's geographically or programmatically, probably is not going to give the results. We also saw in long years, 30 years of working continuously in Nepal, to see the kind of results Nepal's been able to do, and some contribution we were able to make to that. So thank you very much, and hope to see you come by. Thank you all.